Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/theathletic.
And welcome to the Athletic Fantasy Football Podcast. It's the Chris Vaccaro Show, your favorite episode of the week, with the world's greatest fantasy football player, Chris Vaccaro.
Yeah, I don't know about that right now, buddy. I got some teams that are hurting for certain, but we're going to talk it out today.
Hold on. I'm writing down hurting for certain for the song lyrics, for the theme song.
Did you like that one? I don't even know where that came from, but hurting for certain. Yeah. I have a couple bombs, Nan, though. I have one team right before the show I was looking at trying to figure out how I was going to be able to save this thing 3 weeks in, and I'm like, yeah, this one might be dead on arrival here. We might have to just put this one to sleep real early.
That's sad.
Isn't it?
On a lighter note, you know what? I'm not going to say anything because there's still like a week left in baseball.
Ah, I know where you're going with that, but
you know
don't
I'm going
it.
With that, right? Yeah, we'll talk about that next week's Chris Vaccaro.
Yes, that's right.
On a lighter note, you can fix your team by adding four Giants and trying to decide which wide receiver is the one that's going to hit, right? I don't want to start the show with the Giants, but I do want to start the show with the Giants because...
You're like obsessed with the Giants, and I feel like we talk about them every single week. There's like a team every year... since I've known you, that you latch onto and you're obsessed with. Remember, there was the Jacksonville Jaguar year that just every receiver, running back, it was just you were all in on them. Yeah. And now here we go. Now it's the Giants. I think it's like 4 weeks in a row. You want to lead off a show and talk about the Giants.
Have to. Their number one targeted wide receiver went down.
Very sad.
Yeah. And then, I mean, I guess all eyes are on Richie James right now, who's flying under the radar big time. But I mean, Wandale Robinson might miss one more week and could be back in week five. And that's he should take some targets. He's the guy that they picked, this new regime picked. Kadarius Toney, I don't know. He's hurt, but it seemed like he fell out of favor already. Kenny Galladay is, a 28-year-old, 2,000-yard seasons behind him. It's called Babytron.
You could forget about him.
I know, but I mean, I still find that crazy. I find that crazy that Kenny Galladay...
I just think some of these pros, Nando, and it's this situation with Galladay, that they get paid, they get their guaranteed money, big contract. Maybe the kid comes to New York City and he's just involved way too much off the field. His heart's not in it anymore. He's just not he's not football obsessed. And it takes a lot in the NFL, I'm sure, to be a big-time professional. And he doesn't get any separation. You saw last night in the Dallas game, a couple drops. Focus probably isn't there. Coaching staff doesn't like him. There's all these things. It's not like, oh, my God, poor Kenny Galladay. He's so talented and great, but the coaches don't like him and they don't
want
to play him. Yeah. No. Yeah. It's what do you mean? Yeah, what?
That's you took the words right out of my mouth.
All right. I know you want to play the devil's advocate, but you know what? Every beat reporter at camp this whole spring was saying, oh, my God, he looks terrible. He looks slow. He looks dropping everything, can't get any separation. I mean, there wasn't one good report on him. So you think he's just going to come back now because the Giants need a receiver and he's going to lead the team in targets and receptions every week?
Well, I don't know. This is your show. Happen. You tell us.
No, it's not. It's not going to happen. And after last night, I wouldn't be shocked if he's a healthy scratch starting next week, regardless of how desperate this team is. And it's sad. It's a really, really bad wide receiver group. And the Sterling Shepard injury is going to really, they're going to really be affected by it. They need Wandale Robinson, and they need to go back to Kadarius Toney. They need him to get healthy finally. You get these two guys back in the offense. Richie James is a nice little piece, but he can't be a legit, top receiver. He's just a piece in the offense. They might have a little something with this tight end Bellinger, and then the whole offense is Barkley. But every team that comes in and plays the Giants knows that, and it's tough. You see early on in the game, there's no running lanes for Barkley. Everybody's going to stack the box and say, okay, beat us, Daniel Jones, and play their corners and everything one-on-one with the receivers. And it's going to make life miserable for Barkley. And I didn't expect this in the Giants offense. I expected them to have some, a nice cushion to take off of Barkley with all these guys in the offense. But Toney hasn't gotten going yet. And Wandale Robinson hasn't hit the field.
Were you big on Barkley?
That's funny. My man Saquon, I'll tell you what, you laugh about that. My man Saquon, last night, I needed five different leagues with Saquon going into last night, Nando, from anywhere from like 7 to 22.5 points to win matchups. And he got all five of them.
That's amazing.
So it was. It was.
Unless you're on the other end of that.
Yeah, well,
Chris Vaccaro again. There's that
sucks for them.
That podcaster got me.
Sucks for them.
All these, yeah, I guess so.
It's a give and take. Trust me. I've been on the other end of it a lot.
I mean, I don't want to, I don't know, man. I just keep going. And it's not like I was raised a Giants fan, but at this point, I'm just kind of like whatever about everybody, cheering wise. It just seems like there's a hole now. There are a lot of targets available, and they got to go to somebody. And that's all. And that's, the Giants, okay. They're in such a weird, how strange is it, not one, but two guys in a, Kenny Galladay and Kadarius Toney, two would-be talented wide receivers in the doghouse. And then you just got Wandale Robinson, nobody's paying attention to because he's been hurt. And I think he gets grouped in with those other two unfairly. He's not in the doghouse or anything. He's just been hurt. Maybe people are missing Wandale Robinson. Maybe Wandale Robinson's the guy to grab in the set. Obviously, Richard James.
Wandale Robinson isn't really available in any leagues that I'm in. People have stashed him, especially seeing what the Giants wide receiving group looks like.
You're in
hoping.
The hardest leagues in the world.
All right. Well, I'm just saying. There is. You can easily see Wandale Robinson be the leading receiver once he comes back on this team.
Whenever that may be.
Oh, as of today, it sounds like he's a week away, within a week away. So hopefully that's the case because they got to put some talent out there on the field.
We're getting a lot of comments from listeners saying that they wish you'd bring a little more energy. You think you could try that?
Sorry. I'm doing my best. I'm a little under the weather, but I will bring a little more energy.
Let me tell you, I'm in CBS, and that's usually the harshest of these. Wandale Robinson is rostered in 7% of leagues. Do I even need to go to ESPN and Yahoo for this?
No.
Admit that he's not rostered in all of your leagues?
Every single league he's rostered in. One of my leagues.
Let's get to the part of the show where we do whatever Chris Vaccaro texted me the night before. Are you excited for that? Hey, wacky low scoring week 3. What did you learn now that we're 3 weeks in?
Wow, you're really something else.
Why would you write it like that?
I'm just giving you bullets because I know you want to talk about the Giants for 20 minutes every show.
Wandale Robinson could win leagues.
Gotta give you something to talk about.
Wandale Robinson can win leagues.
Tell me something.
Let's
flip this around. What did you observe this past Sunday, Nando, when you were watching football?
I didn't watch anything.
I know, but what I mean,
I went to a pumpkin
did
patch.
You see a highlight,
and then brought the pumpkins home, and I colored them. No, you know what I did actually, and I think this. I don't know if this is worth anything, and this is why, like, you know, I never wanted to, like, I can get away with not watching games, I think, to a degree, because I don't. I'm not a scout. My trained eyes don't mean anything. Mm-hmm. And this is going to sound a little esoteric, but Mac Hollins scored that touchdown, and he just. I mean, like, Mac Hollins has been around for a little while. He scored 9 career touchdowns. You think the dude would get excited? He was just like, all right, handed the ball to the ref, went about his way. I mean, like, I would like.
What a weird observation.
No, it's not. I mean, it's just kind of like he's a man. He's taking this seriously. Like, maybe he. I know Hunter Renfrow is going to come back and take those targets back, but maybe that says something about just what, you know, how
I think
he approaches the game.
I think he earned more playing time. I just don't see, you know. With Renfrow coming back now, I would, you know, with the concussion, you have to believe he's back in the lineup.
Right.
You know, Hollins is still going to be a distant fourth.
Right.
And that offense is, and what's going to happen this week, I'm sure on waivers tomorrow, tonight, whatever, is people are going to see those numbers from Mac Hollins, think he's the next big thing. And he's probably a candidate to come back next week and drop a 2 for 25.
When in reality, you know, it's Zay Jones is the guy you want. If you're looking for a happy wanderer, it's Zay Jones, right?
Yeah. Okay. Is that your preferred option on the waiver wire this week? Is that what I'm saying?
I mean, I think there's a consensus top of the running backs who are going to be replacing injured, you know, the Jamal Williams isn't around anymore, obviously, in a lot of leagues. But I think the running backs, and then just, I don't know, man. Like, all right, well, who are yours? Because I'm filling out my waiver wires.
Mine
run tonight. Who are your waiver wire guys?
We're talking different leagues now, though. So, I mean, Jamal Williams, Khalil Herbert, those are the guys that I'm sure everybody's running to the wire on those Yahoo CBS leagues this week. But, you know, wide receiver, it's still thin. It's still thin. You know, you said Zay Jones. Yeah, Zay Jones will be, you know, if he's available in certain leagues, Zay Jones and Marvin Jones, for that matter, he's available in some. That Jacksonville Jaguar offense is definitely pointing up. And, you know, it's not just Christian Kirk. These other pieces are getting, you know, a little piece of it. They're chipping in. So it's that's an ascending offense. It's a fun team to watch. They went into LA, they beat the Chargers up. Everybody got a little bit of a taste. And yeah, I can see why you're a little excited about bringing up Zay Jones's name.
Yeah. I mean, he has the talent. He went, you know, he had some stuff going on off the field for a little bit. And he just kind of like, I don't want to call him, not LaVisca Chenault, but Laquan Treadwell 2.0. But
oh my God, LaVisca Chenault. Did you see 70 yard touchdown from Baker Mayfield? And that God awful offense. That
it's so. I mean, when's Sam Darnold? Well, I know he's still hurt, but you know.
No, I mean they're gonna stick with Baker Mayfield, but he's so god awful. And you know, for all of us DJ Moore owners, it's not DJ Moore's problem. It's not his fault. We know that DJ Moore is a super talent and he's great, but you know Baker's just sinking DJ Moore. And it's just one of these situations when you're talking about a DJ Moore here, this is probably the biggest issue that fantasy players have. I know it's my biggest issue still, my biggest, you know, I guess what
hang up,
haunts
call
me.
It a hang up?
You want, I guess I'm looking for the right word, but my biggest drawback, my biggest bugaboo every year is the guys you draft
bugaboo?
Early.
We landed on bugaboo. All right.
Okay, bugaboo.
Go ahead, yeah.
There you go. It's what do you do with these high draft picks, these guys that you take in a second, third, fourth round, and they get over, and we see it every year with top picks. You know, every top four round pick can't be a hit. Just because they're drafted there doesn't mean we always have like, you know, 6 to 10 of these guys in the top four rounds that are just either completely bust or just really slow out of the gate. And what do you do with them? It's tough to take them out of your lineup and struggle because you don't want to miss the first big blow-up game that they have. You drafted these guys high. They're probably your wide receiver one or two or whatever, like a DJ Moore is. And, you know, we see it with him. We see it with Allen Robinson and a host of others. And I'm still sticking DJ Moore in there now. This is 3 weeks in a row and getting punished by it. it's tough. What do? You take it out and you keep letting them sink your season. You know, I look at the couple teams that I have DJ Moore on, and they're like my worst teams. Same thing with Allen Robinson. And the team I was talking about are actually at the start of the show is a DJ Moore and Allen Robinson team. So,
Allen Robinson, I think you can drop. DJ Moore, I think you hold on to.
no, don't tell the people. Don't tell the people to drop Allen Robinson.
Well, you don't. Allen Robinson's got like
He's
3 yards on the season, three
a. No,
total yards.
I know, but there's a difference between dropping someone and a difference between benching someone.
I would
And
drop him
Allen
for Wan'Dale
Robinson,
Robinson right now.
I know, and that's why you're a terrible fantasy
I'm
player.
not. I'm a pretty good fantasy player,
So,
actually. I'm a very good fantasy player.
I
I'm a
mean,
very good driver.
sure. Yes.
Yeah.
Driver.
I'm a good fan. You know, I'm not like you. Like, you know, I'm not a Hall of Famer.
You know, I had to say that. You don't drop Allen Robinson for Wan'Dale Robinson.
So you're just
All
going to
right.
sit there every week and hope that Allen Robinson has a good game. And then when he has a good game, you're going to start him and he's going to be 2 for 23. And you're like, oh, well, okay.
Okay, wait, but let me flip it to you this way.
Yeah.
And you're getting me off the topic of what we were talking about.
I'm
Of
sorry. My bad.
I will get back to I will get back to your question, but here's the thing. Like, do you just keep these guys in your lineup and just keep falling further and further down the standings, let them tank your season the first 5 or 6 weeks? Or do you make that change and bench these guys? And it's tough because it's easy to say, oh, you just got to bench them, you know. But how do you put a DJ Moore or an Allen Robinson on the bench? And yeah, I don't want to lump the two together because I think right now there's still a difference. I would bench Allen Robinson on my Allen Robinson teams. I am benching him this week. The DJ Moore thing, I tried doing it on my teams, going through my lineups for next week, and I'm like, I still can't do it. He's playing Arizona. I could see him getting a 5 for 60 and a touchdown, but it's just one of these things that fantasy players, it's our biggest bugaboo. Every week, every year.
Hold on. I'm writing notes for the Welsh, and we're gonna call this the
Yeah.
Bugaboo episode.
Okay. But regardless, you don't drop Allen Robinson, Nando. You don't send Allen Robinson to the waiver wire because guess what? Next week he could drop 6 for 80 and a touchdown, and then you look like the fool that dropped him in
Yeah,
your
but the week
league.
after that, he's 4 targets. 2 catches, 13
Maybe,
yards.
or
And
it's
then you're
just
like,
a
hey.
bad 3 weeks. Or maybe it was just a really slow 3 weeks. Like, talent wins out. Now, do I like what I see from Allen Robinson? No, but at least I know DJ Moore is still a stud. It's not like, oh, he's a slug now. Allen Robinson could have just fallen off the cliff right now. And
It
but for the
happened to Kenny
meantime, he's gonna be
Galladay.
sitting on a bench.
Did it happen to
Yeah,
Kenny Galladay? I
happening.
mean, why can't you apply the same logic? Allen Robinson hasn't been good in a while. Kenny Galladay hasn't been good in a while. At least Kenny Galladay was hurt.
Well,
Oh, caught you in logic
nah,
box.
I'm trying to think. Just Kenny Galladay was just never someone that had separation speed.
Yeah,
He was
because he's
just
a go up and grab it
Stafford
guy.
kind of, to me, Stafford made Kenny Galladay as good as he was.
So why can't Stafford make Allen Robinson as good as he is?
Well, no, that does not. Wait, that just
Glenn
you just went
Lowey.
against your
Glenn
you just went
Lowey.
against you just went against your own logic. Yeah, that's why you keep an Allen Robinson because maybe Stafford can make him. So
Maybe
you just.
Galladay made Stafford good. Maybe Stafford sucks
Oh
and he's
my
getting
God.
exposed now.
Oh, okay. He just won the Super Bowl.
Please.
Oh,
Von Miller
okay.
won him the Super Bowl. Let's be
Von
honest.
or won him the Super Bowl. Oh my God. Yeah,
Odell
not Aaron
Beckham.
Donald.
Odell
Yeah, not
Beckham
Aaron
Jr.
Donald. Stop, you're embarrassing
No,
us.
they were, hey, look, they were an okay team. When they traded for Von Miller and Odell Beckham Jr., they became a different team.
Okay.
Looking for an assist with your credit card, but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Allen Robinson, 2021, 410 yards.
You can't judge him based on last year. I mean, he had Justin Fields, and we see now how bad Justin Fields is. So,
One touchdown.
I mean, that's just a pathetic offense. Talk about drops. You want to drop somebody? Start looking at the Bears team. That's a droppable team. That's a droppable offense. And if you wound up with, Darnell Mooney in that fourth, fifth round turn right there, you're sitting with and you've ate his 3 weeks so far, that's a last place team. If you go through your league standings and through your leagues, the Darnell Mooney owner's probably like in 10th, 11th, 12th place.
Dude, and miserable about it too.
I mean, that is a tough, tough scene.
Let me take a look. I'm opening up one of my random leagues here. I got an 0-3 team. Let me make sure they're the lowest on points. 298 points through 3 weeks. 0-3. Lost three in a row, obviously. Mm-hmm. Carson Wentz, Dalvin Cook, CeeDee Lamb. No, it doesn't have. He's got Pittman, Sanders, Cortland Sutton, Evan Ingram.
Hey, listen.
No, wait. Darnell Mooney, there he is.
Yes. Hey, listen. It's not going to always. Not one player won't completely sink you, but, you know, hey, it's not going to help. That's for sure.
I got to go do this in my other leagues, too. This is a fun part. Right,
we're in the middle invented. Of a podcast, Nando, just in case you forgot.
It doesn't matter. You talk for 5 minutes. I got plenty of time to do these things.
But a lot of ugly football in week three, Nando. I know why you were pumpkin picking, but
I wasn't really
really pumpkin ugly picking. Football.
I was not. I do that on Saturdays.
Oh, well, that's good that you get it out of the way for apple picking on Sunday. But real ugly games. Packers-Bucks game, ugly. You know, the Broncos-Niners game on Sunday Night Football, just ugly.
That was ugly.
And, you know, you're seeing so many games where quarterbacks aren't even throwing for one touchdown. And in today's NFL, that just boggles my mind. You know, Russell Wilson, zero touchdown passes. Jimmy Garoppolo, you know, it's... The Rams-Cardinals game between Kyler and Stafford, they had zero touchdown passes. That was a complete shit fest. Just ugly football.
The Welsh has to edit this.
Carson Wentz, he came crashing back down to earth with the whole Washington offense. Just a lot of ugly, ugly football all around.
Where are you on Carson Wentz? I know a lot of people are, you know, probably will be dropping him, I would assume, this week after this game and be like, oh, that's the Carson Wentz I remember. Let me go get the guy with four broken bones in his back instead.
I wouldn't recommend that either. Listen, this Washington offense, I'm not going to judge them based on this past week. This Philadelphia defense, and let's talk, you know, listen, Philadelphia offense and defense. I love both sides of the ball. I know I talk about it every week. The defense in Philly is legit, so I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt. Washington's offense, they have a lot of nice pieces here, and your boy Curtis Samuel. So, no, there's going to be weeks where Wentz and Washington, you know, put up a decent amount of fantasy production. So I don't think Carson Wentz is droppable in deeper leagues at all. I would keep him... you know, as your backup quarterback.
You don't want to drop anyone, man. Who are you dropping?
It's, you know why, Dondo? I look at my leagues, there's nothing available on the waiver wire at all, at any position. You know, I'm doing my waivers already for this upcoming week, and I go to each position, and there's nothing there. Nothing. You play in the NFFC high stakes leagues, or FFPC, FFWC, any competitive home, even my competitive home leagues. There is nothing available on the wire. I don't know if your leagues, you feel that way too. I don't know if this year in 12-team leagues, the wire is just a lot thinner. And it's been like this over the last couple of years. So I don't want to say like, oh my God, you know, every year, the last couple of years, used to be able to go to the wire and get something. There might be one or two guys that you can maybe use as a fifth or sixth wide receiver in you know, these deeper leagues on the wire. But even that, it's like, what am I going to do? There's nothing. There really isn't. I haven't been able to go to the wire yet and get something that I was excited about.
Well, you know why? Because people haven't had tough decisions yet. And maybe we're misremembering this. Like, we don't have buys yet. Buys are going to start soon, and then people are going to have to make some tough decisions. And then there's going to be some stuff populating the wires, you know?
Man, when these bye weeks start, you're going to see some really ugly scores. Just because you saw ugly scores this past week. I go through all my leagues and I see teams that, you know, couldn't break 100.
In a PPR, formats.
In full point PPR, never mind half point PPR You know, if dinosaurs are still playing standard, you know, the no PPR.
Do we have to insult standard players?
Yes,
for no reason.
No, as a matter of fact, we do, because if you're still playing that, your league probably started in the 70s. I haven't even heard of a standard league lately. I think they're completely almost banished.
But, yeah, I haven't gotten a lot of questions. We haven't gotten a lot of questions at all anywhere on those.
Yeah, I mean, the standard leagues, I think, are really close to being extinct, luckily. But a lot of odd games. You know, that's why the scores were weird. A week where the elite receivers really all bottomed out. You know, nobody, Justin Jefferson, 3 for 14. Jamar Chase, 29 yards, but at least he scored. Davante Adams, 36 yards. At least he scored. You know, Diggs finally didn't have a blow up game, but just a lot of low scoring. And to me, I'll still say the same thing. The guys, the teams that are dominating right now are the Lamar Jackson, Jalen Hurts, Josh Allen owners. Those three quarterbacks are just dominating fantasy right now. And it's such an advantage. If you have these three quarterbacks, you have some pieces around it. You know, if you have a couple good, maybe you're the guy who has Devontae Smith, you know, this past week. Those are the only teams that have had a really nice, successful week scoring. But other than that, running backs, what, like, Nando, what running backs do you feel good about right now in fantasy? You know, this past week, it was a weird week where, like, the players that probably weren't even in lineups were the players that had the monster blow up weeks. Like, Nobody had Khalil Herbert in their lineup. Nobody had Devin Jamal Singletary. Williams. Devin Singletary, I wanted to get to because he's very frustrating for me. This is the first week that I had him on my benches where I own him. I started him the first 2 weeks because I was very high on Singletary coming in. And this past week, I said, all right, I have better options. I actually, for whatever reason, that you know, I had like a Miles Sanders that I plugged in after loving what I saw from Sanders in this Eagles offense. So I go to Sanders on some teams and Singletary's on my bench. Of course, Singletary gives the huge game, 9 catches, like 80 yards and a touchdown.
Yeah.
Which is what you dream of when you draft Devin Singletary. You want a piece of this Buffalo offense. And you dream of days like that where he's running for 50, 60 yards and catching 6 or 7 balls. And we didn't see it the first 2 weeks. And now he has that game and he's on everyone's benches, most likely.
Yeah, he was started in 22% of CBS leagues.
Yeah. I mean, then, you know, who was the big receivers? Mac Hollins. I actually see lineups in my leagues that Mac Hollins was actually in people's lineups because it was a good pick. I was bidding on Mac Hollins last week and didn't get him, but, you know, savvy players did, and it was a good start. Now, did we think that Adams and Waller were going to take a backseat to Mac Hollins? No. You know, I got killed on player props on, you know, Davante Adams and Darren Waller overs because I just thought, hey, both of these guys are going to have a field day versus Tennessee secondary. Neither one of them did. Mac Hollins is the one that went crazy.
But, I mean, that's what you get for doing player props, right?
Like, yeah, I guess
fool,
so.
Fooling his money or simple, yeah.
Just stupid. Stupid, Nando, yeah. But
can't you stick to fantasy, huh?
I'm a degenerate.
I'm just saying, you're lacking focus. You come on this show, you're sloppy, you know, your teams are falling apart. It's because you're doing all these player props now.
How about your boy Cordaro Patterson? He was a big winner at the running back position, Nando. That's one guy that was in people's lineups that scored over 20 points in, as a running back in fantasy this week.
I feel like, I mean, like, if people could take a time machine back to their drafts, I think Cordaro Patterson would be a third-round pick. So it doesn't show too much, like, you don't take him in the first because, that, you know, you're obviously traveling from the future. And you don't want to take him in the fifth because some people might jump up a little bit. We dedicated a whole show to him. Basically, that RB dead zone thing where we were like, that's dumb because Cordell Patterson's right there. I think Chase Edmonds is right there too, you know?
We dedicate a whole show to Cordell Patterson.
Well, I did. And back when my name used to mean something on this show, before it was the Chris Vaccaro show, it was...
Can we call it Chris Vaccaro and Friends?
Yeah, Chris Vaccaro and Friend. Chris Vaccaro and friend. Acquaintance, Chris I think, Vaccaro at this point.
Chris Vaccaro and Friend.
Chris Vaccaro and Tolerator. That's
what rhymes. Oh wait, you know who the other player was that I was laughing. That it was just one of those days, Nando, that you just shake your head at everything. Because it's bad of me to even admit this, but I tried to get Devontae Parker on all my teams. He was a target of mine. Let's put it that way. Right. Just because he was a 14th, 15th rounder, and I said, hey. receiver to take a chance on in New York, New England.
Right. He might have some left in his tank.
He might have something there. Belichick wanted him there, brought him over, traded for him.
Mac Jones is a pretty accurate guy.
Yeah, you know, and it's like a non-belief in everyone else in that offense. So, hey, listen, as a wide receiver six in those rounds, I was putting Parker on a lot of teams. I dropped him last week in about 50% of my leagues just because, hey, listen.
This is the Allen Rob. This is where it's coming from, the Allen Rob. Let's get into the psychology of Chris McCormick.
Well, listen, so he absolutely no-shows after 2 weeks. And I'm like, all right, listen, I got to start cutting bait in some of these leagues just because – He's going to be irrelevant. The other wide receivers in the offense looked pretty good, whether it's Myers, Aguilar, you know, just certain pieces. So I said, all right, Parker's like a forgotten guy. Then Sunday happens, and he drops 5 for 160, and I'm like, oh, my God, I can't believe it. So he was another one in nobody's lineup. But think about that. Think about the names we just said. Jamal Williams, Khalil Herbert, Devontae Parker, Mac Hollins, Devin Singletary. These were the stars of this past Sunday. That's why the scores were so low, because nobody had these guys in their lineup.
Yeah. I wonder if
best balls. And the big names did.
I wonder if the best balls got hit like that, too. The best balls must have been great. It must have been fine, right? Yeah. The points were there. They just weren't coming from the regular people.
Right. Yeah. 100%. But very, very strange Sunday. It's been three weird Sundays in a row. And, you know, I don't know how you judge your fantasy season, Nando. I don't know. I always say
500 or bust.
Well, I'm saying, like, when do you sit down and say, all right, this is what I think of each player or team, or this is what's going to happen. I'm only saying this because I'm leading into my point here, Nando, of I always say the first 3 weeks are always wacky. And after the, you know, first three weeks of every fantasy season, I sit down and I say, okay, no more playing games with my lineups. This is the players that I believe in or trust in that I'm going with, and I'm setting my lineup. And unless there's an injury or something wacky, I'm not changing it. It's like I got to set and forget it, and it's tough to do. And I always it's a very difficult thing to do, but I learned that's the best way to play it. You know, you start messing around with your lineup. I did it this past week with Amari Cooper. You know, I had a situation on a very good team where, you know, I had a flex at a wide receiver three and a flex play. And one guy had to sit. And it was between Allen Robinson, Amari Cooper, and Miles Sanders. And I was so high on Miles Sanders. And I was like, Allen Robinson, I know he hasn't really done well, but he had the decent week two game, and he's playing Arizona's secondary. The matchup is great. I didn't want to play. I'm like, Cooper had a good game, but let me just take that good game and be grateful with it. He's playing Pittsburgh on a Thursday night. The wind I was reading is 25, 30 miles an hour. So this is going to be an ugly 13. Everybody's predicting, you know, 13-10, 17-13 type game. I said, this is a Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt game. Cooper's going to give like a, you know, 4 for 35. Let me not ruin my Thursday night going into Sunday, and let me ride with Robinson and Sanders. And what happened? It cost me a win. It cost me an extra 20 something points, and it hurt to watch Amari Cooper go off on Thursday night. But that's it. You know, from now on, Allen Robinson's on my bench, and Amari Cooper's locked into my lineup. I don't care if Cooper gives me a 2 for 20. I'm fine with it. I have to eat it because I'm going to be able to at least know that I'm going to get those big games when they happen. I'm not going to keep rotating certain players. You know, some teams I'm lucky enough to be deep enough, and our listeners, I'm sure the same thing. You have lineup decisions every week. Stick to your main guys, and that's it. You'll get their good games. You'll get their crap games. But the guys you rotate, you don't want to take a crap game, put that guy on the bench, get that person you put in his crap game at the same time at the next week, and you're just playing that, you know, Russian roulette every week. So after 3 weeks, I think I have a good feel now of who to trust, who not to trust, what offenses I want to rely on and not rely on. And, you know, that's my point with all that.
If you get Devontae Parker back for Allen Robinson, would you do it?
No, especially with Mac Jones being out now it's right back to kind of being glad.
Man. Yeah, he's gonna.
Maybe. But
he can launch it to Devontae Parker.
He can, and Hoyer isn't going to be god awful. But you know, I would have been kicking myself a little bit coming off that Devontae Parker game in the leagues I dropped him in if Mac Jones was still healthy. I just think the Patriots are heading for that 5-12 season and really don't want any piece of it. And maybe that was just Parker's one good game, and I won't regret it at all. I probably won't. But it would just hurt to drop the guy and then see what I was hoping for when I took him in the 15th round of these drafts, you know?
So I've been doing this. So I'm in this league. I don't know. I'm in a billion leagues, obviously. But there's one where I help my dad's friend. And it's just, you know, they're a little older. And we've held on. Like, every week he's like, do you want to make some moves? I'm like, no, our team's fine. Like, and slowly, like, we started at waiver 11. And now we're waiver 2. And I think after things run this week, we'll have waiver 1. And we could just lay the hammer down on, you know, whoever we want. I haven't used it yet. You know what I mean? And we wait, like, you know, I wait a couple days. I see who gets dropped. You know, this is your typical home league where just, you know, the impulsive drops happen, the Devontae Parker drops. And we've been scooping up a couple guys that way. But I think like the way the season has unfolded and the way just listening to you, maybe you're like me. And I've done this in a lot of leagues. I'm waiting to see like who gets dropped as opposed to like, I'm not going to run out and grab, well, there's no Khalil Herberts in my leagues. There's no, Jamal Williams available in my league. There's Wandale Robinson in most of my leagues who I can just wait until like Thursday to get instead of burning a waiver priority or fab money or I'll bid a buck on him tonight, you know, and I'm going to get him. And I will drop Allen Robinson for him.
Well, I always like to say in those type of leagues, and I am in a home league where it's the same thing. It's actually a waiver. It's the only one out of all my leagues where it's like that. The waiver, you move up each time. It's not like there's no money bids. And it's weird and it's frustrating, but it's, you know, I'm still in this league. And when I can move up and get that one, you know, that one spot, I hold on to it for dear life just because what I expect is not for something on the wire to become so available like a Khalil Herbert. If that happens and I need it, yeah, great. But what I'm waiting for is for one of the 11 other owners to make a really bad drop. That's what I'm waiting for.
Right.
You know, and when you play in a little bit of an inexperienced leagues, somebody gets frustrated with a really good player that, you know, is having a bad start to the season and is like, that's it. Baker Mayfield stinks. I'm dropping DJ Moore. He's going to be garbage. He's been terrible. That's what I want, that top. Where I'm not taking, you know, Khalil Herbert's a good piece. He'll be a good 1 week fill-in at running back or something like that. Or, oh, Jamal Williams. No, I'm waiting for somebody to make that really bad drop, and that's what I'm keeping it for. And it will happen, whether it's somebody says, I'm not waiting until week 7 for DeAndre Swift to come back. Boom, that's what I want.
No one's going to drop DeAndre Swift.
I'm just saying.
I don't know. It's unrealistic. Number 2 on your list was Let's Talk About House of the Dragon for 25 minutes. I'll give you still, 2 minutes. Go ahead.
I still haven't heard a thing about House of Dragons, and I know that's not on the list just for our listeners, but I'm just saying it now that you brought it up. But I will tell you this, Nando.
What?
I had a night last week where I was able to have a couple hours to myself, and I think you know, there was just some downtime, and I said, "This is it. I'm going to finally sit down and watch Cobra Kai, the new season." And I got halfway through. So I'm halfway through the Cobra Kai season. Very good. I love Karate Kid, Cobra Kai, all that stuff. No House of Dragons. That'll have to wait till after football season, obviously. But that's the only show I've watched lately is Cobra Kai. Wait,
that's it?
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say, you know, like I turned it off in anger. I didn't like it. The whole story is you got to watch
it. Oh, you didn't like it?
No,
I got to it, and I liked it a lot.
That's it?
That's the story.
I'm going to make a note for him to cut that story out. No, you know what? Vaquero's Cobra Kai story's got to go in there now. Vaquero's Cobra Kai story. Fast forward to 44-11. You got to hear this one, everybody.
Sorry, the moral of the story is no, I didn't watch House of Dragons, but I did watch Cobra Kai.
Why don't you give me your top three Cobra Kai characters real quick?
Come on.
And it can't be, it's got to be all the kids.
It's got to be the kids?
I mean, everyone's going to say Johnny. Kreese
Johnny,
and Daniel.
Obviously. Yeah. Johnny's obviously.
So it can't be that. It's got to be the kids.
He makes Cobra Kai. By the way, you know who's the absolute worst in the show? Like, he shouldn't even, like, Daniel, Ralph Macchio. All right. Like, no good. But Johnny, I mean, like, everybody has, like, a good role, like, in it. But I don't know. Like, without Johnny, is the show even good, if you think about it?
Can we get back to fantasy? Whenever you're ready. If you're doing a draft today, and you can, you know, we're going to, we'll retrofit like the rest of these. I would, there's no value in doing redraft, I guess, for fantasy people who are listening. Although it could set up like some good trade ideas. But where would you put, I don't know, like Lamar Jackson, I think you could hit at that turn now in one. He's just been so good. And Jalen Hurts, too. Having like the teams where I have Lamar Jackson, Jalen Hurts, it's like an extra 20 points every week automatic. You know what I mean? It's just like it's such a relief. I guess that's a way to put it. Like instead of chasing, you know, Jameis Winston's got the broken back. Now let me go pick up Marcus Mariota. And then this week, who I'm going to start? Like having those two guys.
This just goes to show you how you don't even listen when I'm talking, because like 15 minutes ago, I went on a rant for 2 minutes about how Lamar Jackson, Jalen Hurts, and Josh Allen are the biggest different makers in leagues.
Yeah.
Do you think you would have said what you just said then?
No, I wrote it down to bring it up. So, because you know why? One of the reviewers says, I interrupt you. We got a one-star
good
review.
You do. Yeah.
I interrupt you because
I appreciate that reviewer, and he sees what, you know, it's true.
You shouldn't, because that's a one-star review that hurts you as much as it hurts me.
I know. So step your game up.
It actually also hurts Jake.
One-star reviews.
I'm sure. I know you read these you refresh every day. Like, what do they say about me now? I'm not monotone.
Of course, monotone. yeah. Listen, to your point, I'll repeat it again. I don't know what quarterback is going to step up, and it's just like the tight end position, like Mark Andrews. It's, you know, and I guess we could throw Kelsey in there as well. Kelsey's going to be just fine. But if we're redrafting now, Mark Andrews will be the clear number one tight end. There's such a gap and advantage at these positions with these three quarterbacks and these two tight ends that it's tough. And then, you know, the teams in my leagues where they have the Lamar and Mark Andrews connection, you know, they have a Jalen Hurts, Devonta Smith, you know, or an Eagles stack with AJ Brown, Jalen Hurts, and Devonta Smith.
Yeah.
Like, it's early on, Nando, but these are the winning combinations, the Josh Allen, Stephon Diggs combination. You know, it's just the quarterback position through 3 weeks is so bad, but these three guys have not only been great, they've been beyond great. So you go in to your leagues, these three are hand delivering wins and points to their three managers in every league. And then there's the cliff, and you're just dealing with the rest of these guys. Like,
right.
We just talked about, you're begging for a touchdown. Like, Kyler Murray had an okay first 2 weeks, not in real life, but in fantasy at the end of the day, 25, 30 points because he snuck out garbage time. But then you saw then reality got smacked him in the face this week with no touchdowns. The guy isn't running anymore. You can't even include Kyler Murray anywhere close to these elite guys. Pat Mahomes hasn't impressed anybody. He had that great first week, but the last 2 weeks have been . Justin Herbert now is hurt and doesn't look like himself. He looks like a shell of himself now. You got to expect this rib issue is going to linger. I think the coach even said it's, you know, this is something he's going to have to work through for a while. And then that whole middle tier of quarterbacks that everybody liked and thought would be fine, the Brady, the Derek Carrs, the Russell Wilsons, we lost Trey Lance and Dak Prescott. Like, this is like 5, 6, 7 through 11 or 12 at quarterback. It's garbage. They're killing you. They're giving you 15, 20 points, sinking your team. And then you come out and look at the big three. This is 40 points. Like, you know, Lamar Jackson's carried me. I don't know where my fantasy season would be right now through 3 weeks without Lamar Jackson. You know, he's honestly saved me. Thank God I have him on so many teams, because at least that's been 45, 50 points in NFFC scoring at the top of my team. Because I've been eating, once again, I've been eating fives and lesses from my tight end position 3 weeks in a row now. Darren Waller sank it this week too.
Yeah. And you wouldn't have changed. I was going to say you wouldn't have changed anything, right?
Like, I know what you're saying. And yeah, I totally would have, because I had this discussion with a friend the other day. I'm a guy that always preached, I'll always jump up to get the elite quarterback in NFFC high stakes drafts. I've always done it for 15 years. And for whatever reason, these last couple of years, it's like the necessity to get these receivers in these early rounds, and the fact that quarterbacks have just kept falling and falling and falling. You know, there used to be a time where, you know, Brady's and Manning's and these elite quarterbacks, you would have to take them in the first, second round. You know, now there was drafts that I'm in this past summer where Josh Allen's the first quarterback off the board in the late fourth round.
Yeah.
Like, that's my regret. Like, going through the fourth round, passing on a Josh Allen just so I could get my second or third receiver. Like, why? Like, what am I doing? Like, it's stupid. Take Josh Allen and his 40-plus points and bank it, and then you can hit on a receiver in the sixth, seventh round, like a Devonta Smith, you know?
Right, right, exactly.
I'm better off doing that instead of playing this game of, oh, I'll just go get Russell Wilson in the eighth or ninth, or Derek Carr. I don't want to live like that. It's frustrating every Sunday. Let me set it and forget it with my quarterback. Let me take Josh Allen in the third or fourth round. Let me live off of 40 points every week and then go from there. So I do regret that. The only thing I was at least smart about, like I said, is I jumped up around or half around every draft to make sure I went and got Lamar Jackson. And that worked out great.
Right.
So it worked out for me, but I'm just saying for other people, other drafters, I'm sure they look back at their draft boards, because everybody nowadays is what, Nando? Everybody's a wait on quarterback. You listen to every other show. You listen to the radio. Oh, don't draft a quarterback. Oh, just wait on quarterback. Quarterback doesn't matter. But get out of here. How do you want to say quarterback doesn't matter? Go look at your teams. Go look at fantasy nowadays. Quarterback's garbage. The elite quarterbacks are the one. You know, Jalen Hurts was a sixth or seventh rounder. He was the fifth quarterback off the board. And I regret passing on him a lot on the teams I took Kyler Murray. So, you know, we even make mistakes right there in that range. But I'm just saying, if I have one regret so far, it would be not having the elite quarterback, these guys on all my teams.
Yeah. I like my team. Like, I don't know. There's just a feeling of relief, I guess. That's the best way to put it for me.
Of what?
Like, I know these points are coming. You know what I mean? Like, Lamar Jackson's
well,
like,
who's your quarterback?
16 points.
Who's your quarterback in these leagues of yours?
Lamar Jackson, Jalen Hurts. I'm in super flexes. One, I inherited a team and I have Aaron Rodgers and Tua. I get Jameis. So I can rotate Tua and Jameis every other week. What I want to do is try and trade Aaron Rodgers. And then I'm totally fine going Tua and Jameis. And then I got Deshaun Watson coming in week 11. And I got Davis Mills floating on there. I should not have that many quarterbacks in a super flex, but oof. I mean, like, I shouldn't have been able to get.
Yeah, and that's another reason, Nando. I mean, sure. And so you got a collection of five garbage quarterbacks. I mean,
you don't mean that. Two, you don't mean that about Davis Mills.
Two has been good, obviously. You can't trust Aaron Rodgers nowadays. He was completely off my board. Moral is, I'm not knocking you, I'm just saying you have five quarterbacks that wouldn't impress anyone. They're not carrying you, put it that way, Nando, right? These aren't the superstars of fantasy. Two is obviously the big hit at the fantasy position at quarterback so far through 3 weeks. But, you know, and maybe it lasts, and maybe he's the answer for any team that waited. But these aren't, he's not a guy that nobody built their team around. They were like, I'm going to wait till round 17 or 18, take the 21st quarterback, and two is my guy that's going to lead me to a fantasy championship. Anybody that says that, that you see two on, is full of crap. Okay. Tua was just another guy that you backed up your good quarterback with, your top 10 quarterback with, and that's it. You know, I have three teams where Tua is my backup quarterback in the 18th round and Lamar is my starter. Like, what do you do? You know, it's just funny the way it works out. But, you know, Tua will never play for me.
Right.
Tua, but all those guys right there, Nando, like, what are you going to do? The other part of not having the elite quarterback is – now you got to play that who do I play every week game. Oh, I got Winston. I got Davis Mills. I got, you know, Rodgers in a tough matchup. I got this guy that, like, you don't know who to play. And you're going to play the wrong one most of the time. Everybody is. So that's the other reason you get that elite quarterback. Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Jalen Hurts, you put these guys in your quarterback position. The only time you have to worry about them is on their bye week. And that's it. You focus on your running backs and your receivers and tight ends on the waiver wire and your lineup decisions, and that's it. You know? You think I like these teams where it's Russell Wilson and Jimmy Garoppolo or my two quarterbacks or Derek Carr and Jimmy Garoppolo?
Yeah.
And every week I'm like, let's see. What should I, you know, how should I play this? Jimmy Garoppolo's got a good matchup. Carr's, you know, like, you don't want to do that. You want to focus on the main positions, and that's tough enough. So it's just – it's twofold. That's why I'll always say draft the elite quarterback.
And well, you're always going to say that
like
now.
A baby.
Is that the shift in Vaccaro?
No, I mean, I just told you, like, that was always my way I played it for 15 years.
Right.
It's just the last couple of years I haven't – you know, I've done it, but I haven't jumped enough to make sure I do it, just because of the way the draft boards, you know, play out now. When you can see a Kyler Murray or Jalen Hurts in the seventh round, you don't have to say, oh, let me go get that elite quarterback. Josh Allen isn't in the first or second round. He's in the fourth.
Right.
But my regret is not taking him in the fourth every single time.
Do you think things are going to fix themselves? Like, the points will come if you're streaming and you just maybe make the right decision here and there a little more? Or is this
Not at all. Not at all. Not at all.
That's
I don't
sad.
Think. I think the only quarterback I can see us talking about 8 weeks from now that enters this elite tier,
Sam Darnold,
is Kyler. Yeah,
you love Kyler Murray more than anyone I know.
Just because of DeAndre Hopkins coming back into this lineup, and you see what Marquise Hollywood Brown, you know, adds to this team. Zach Ertz is healthy. Maybe they get Rondell. Well, they should have Rondell Moore also in this offense. Now you just put all those pieces out there on the field with a bad defense, and it adds up to what Jalen Hurts could possibly, you know, like, it adds up to 40 points a week, 35 points a week.
Yeah.
You know, they're not going to run the ball 25 times a game. You have a quarterback in Kyler that I don't know why this guy doesn't run anymore, but maybe the lanes open up and the defenses are all focused in on, oh my God, we got to cover Hopkins and Brown. And Murray starts taking off and running 6 to 8 times a game for 50 yards. So I think week 8, 9, 10, Kyler has a chance to enter this elite group. But for now, it's these three guys. Mahomes will have his big weeks, but I'm not high on Mahomes this year. I don't even own... Matter of fact, I don't own one share of Pat Mahomes.
That's interesting.
Not one. If you're asking me if I think it's going to change, no, I don't. And I think Kyler is the only one that you could potentially see entering this top four range.
Can you hear that?
I was just going to say, I guess the baby doesn't agree with the Kyler take. I'm going to assume.
I don't know. I think what I heard was he's talking way too long. Get to the point, and then he just I got some wailing. That's all. It was very interesting.
So you asked the question. I try to give in depth explanation.
Yeah, I'm just kidding. You know, I know we're running out of time here, but I did like, I've been this Patrick Mahomes and Aaron Rodgers lost like major parts of that offense. And maybe we underrated that coming into the season. Well, not we, because I don't have either of them on any teams either.
But maybe we underestimated Aaron Rodgers losing Davante Adams.
Yeah, because I mean, I think people are still treating Aaron Rodgers like is the same Aaron Rodgers and thinking like, oh, don't worry, no, he's got Alan Lazard. You know what I mean?
Of all your bad takes, this was the worst one ever.
It's not a take; it's an assessment. I think it's bad. There's a difference.
Aaron Rodgers wasn't drafted as a top 15 fantasy quarterback, so. When he did have Davante Adams and Aaron Rodgers was a top 5-6 fantasy quarterback, and then he loses Davante Adams, there's a reason why Aaron Rodgers was still available in 12th, 13th, 14th rounds of drafts.
I don't know how you say that. I think people thought this guy had 1 foot in retirement and he was done. Mm-hmm. And it really didn't. I mean, it had a little bit to do with him probably, but not.
I don't think Aaron Rodgers' talent has gone away at all. I just think his weapons are dried up, and you take one of the best 3 or 4 receivers in football away from him, nobody wanted Aaron Rodgers this year.
How about Patrick Mahomes then?
I mean, Mahomes, yeah, people started definitely feeling that they didn't want him. I was in a bunch of high-stakes drafts when Mahomes went in the 6th round. So, yeah, they felt that the loss of Tyreek Hill was a big hit. You know, yeah, they bring in Juju and MVS, but it's just a bunch of pieces. It's just a bunch of pieces, and I think the offense you see it now is just not the same high-powered offense as it was. Now, that could change on a week-to-week basis because, hey, week one, and I think now we see what Arizona's defense is and how Kansas City, you know, shredded them.
Right.
And maybe they just weren't ready. So everybody was like, after week one, oh my God, Mahomes, 5 touchdowns. How did we let this guy fall so far? And now these last 2 weeks, it's been like, all right, this is what we expected. You know, maybe Mahomes falls into this 280 and two touchdowns every week type of quarterback. That's not the Pat Mahomes we used to draft a couple years back. That was every week 350 and 4 touchdowns. So, no, both of them came this year at a bigger discount than they have in the past, and rightfully so.
I think we've hit time.
Oh.
How do you feel about that?
I'm sad, Nando.
I know. But it's almost an hour. We've given people what they wanted. You've been a trooper, Mr. Christopher Carroll.
I fought through my sickness for the people, because we're men of the people. Are you worried about A.J. Dillon?
You can't start. You can't bring that up an hour into the show. When we're closing it down. No, I'm not. I'm not. But I don't even know who that is, really. I don't know anything about him. So. Okay. Name sounds familiar.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, he's this guy that runs the ball.
He's the quarterback? He's got a quarterback name.
Yes. He's funny.
Yeah. A
lot of jokes.
Hey, hope everyone enjoyed the show. I certainly did. We'll be back next week, I think. With a whole new list of demands, and hopefully I get the theme song done. But I got.
Oh, that's right. People were actually looking forward to the theme song.
You know, it's like finding the actual music backdrop to it is tough, and I don't want to spend $125. Maybe I will on like Songfinch, but is it worth it for a joke? I think so.
Knowing you, you'll go to that length for the joke.
Yeah,
that would be you.
All right, stay tuned for that.
You would do. Hey, listen, let's hope week 4 in fantasy and in the NFL is a lot more fun and a lot more high scoring and better than week 3 was, because week 3 was a real dud. And that's a shame, because the first 2 weeks were really fun, high scoring, you know, a lot of great fantasy performances. But week 3 was just like a real letdown. I'm sure you agree, but... You didn't watch, so you wouldn't agree. Sorry.
I don't find football entertaining. Anyway, come on, we gotta go. Thank you all for joining us. We hope you enjoy this. Hey, feel free to just saunter on over to Apple and give us a 1-star review and say Chris Vaccaro sucks, since he gets such a kick out of this. Hey, we'll talk to you later. Chris Vaccaro Show, same bat time next week. Goodbye.
Peace out.